Blog Talk Radio.
And blessings, family. This is Healer Asset Maryam Ali coming at you. It is June 28th, 2016. And I am excited to be doing tonight's show. First and foremost, I want to give all praise and all glory to Most High. Thank you for allowing this platform to be created. Everything that I do and we do should be in trying to please the Most High and the Creator and ensuring that we are doing our mission to our best ability. With that being said, welcome, welcome, welcome to my new listeners, to my regular listeners. However, I have to start off by saying my phone is out of commission. So if you have been calling me or texting me, my phone is out of commission until, God willing, until tomorrow or Thursday. So I have not had a phone. So please do not feel neglected. I had a couple of clients like track me down on Facebook and say like, yo, where are you at? So I just want to definitely honor that. That is, I'm not being dismissive. I did not forget about scheduled appointments and all of that good stuff. I just, my phone has completely broken on me. So I'm just waiting for the replacement phone to come back. So let's go right into the topic. If you are not aware, I am currently doing a course, if you will, called Heart. If you were in the Denver area, come to the Dahlia Health and Wellness Center in Park Hill off of, is it Eudora? I think it's Eudora. Eudora and 33rd over by the library and the Boys and Girls Club, that brand new health and wellness facility. I want to invite you to come in because it is getting intense and we have an incredible class, but it is a 10-week course called Healing African-American Relationships Today, and we talk about the interpersonal relationships within the Black community and ensuring that they are as healthy and as productive as possible because we need some healing. We do a lot of shell work in our community. This is exclusive to the Black community. This is not a program, okay, although I do participate in diversity programs and even have diversity programs. This is not one of them. This is exclusive to the African-American community and us doing better. A lot of this is based off of Dr. Joy DeGuri's theory called, and it's not even a theory, I'm getting past the theory part of it, post-traumatic slave syndrome and the effects that the slave trade has had on our community for those of us who are of African descent in this land and what it has done to our community, how they have implemented, and the they is the white supremacy, and influenced us to not be productive with ourselves in our own community. So each week we go through a particular interpersonal relationship within the community, whatever it is. And this week, so you guys are a week behind. So last week was platonic relationships and blood relationships between sister and brother, sister and sister, siblings, and platonic relationships. And is it possible for men and women to just be friends? Is it possible for us to have a healthy space where men and women can genuinely just say we are brother and sister to one another despite blood being involved? Is that possible? And that was the ultimate, and I don't even want to say it was a question, but it was the topic of discussion for how do we move into the realm of platonic relationships being healthy, being a threat to what the core should be, which is our family. And our first community is within our household. And we have to get back to remembering these principles and these thoughts and these standards so that we can see how do we engage with all of the rest of the interpersonal relationships within the Black community. So the conversation was amazing. Okay, the participants in the class are so committed to being honest and transparent and vulnerable, and they are so dedicated to healing that what it does is it creates room for discomfort. Okay, so we can be uncomfortable for a moment. We can shake things up for a second, and we all have kind of worked through understanding that we're here for the same purpose, and that is to heal, and that is to be our best selves within the community, and ensuring that we can move in a direction that's going to be productive and healing for our next generation and for ourselves, for our elders, for all parties involved in the community. So we shared a lot of it was questions. How come when a man does this or when a woman does this, this means that? And why are we missing the messages that completely discredit boundary, that completely ignore boundary? I don't, you know, is it healthy for us to be in a relationship and continue to have platonic relationships with the opposite sex? What are the roles that we have as siblings, as brother and sister, sister and sister, brother and brother, uphold one another, and why don't we utilize our siblings more as we should? So we're going to talk about siblings. We're going to talk about the blood relationships first, and then we're going to go into the platonic relationships, and then we'll engage and interact in all of those. Okay. The first thing about blood relationships is that we forget that our siblings are our first teachers of friendship. Our siblings are where we learn how to trust other people. Our siblings are where we learn how to believe, how to read, how to engage, how to share, how to receive, and how to give to one another. And a lot of times we neglect it because we're like, they just grew up with us. One huge thing that the sister shared was that, you know, our brothers, our big brothers or our little brothers, aren't really as apt to want to, this is a particular sister she shared, you know, my brother is just like, I love you because you're my sister. It's not really this depth type of relationship. Whereas she's coming to heart and she's being fed by that brotherly love because she's receiving it, although in her core, longing for that from her actual brother is truly what she is looking for. And so we have to get back into the mindset where we are remembering our siblings teach us friendship. So if you grew up in a turmoil type of relationship with your siblings, 9 times out of 10, you're not trusting friends. You're not that, you're not, because at the end of the day, someone who isn't your blood can betray you, and we know that your blood can betray you too, but you're not going to set yourself up because you, a lot of times that same sympathy that the sister shared her brother has is, well, I rock with you because you're my blood. I rock with you because you're my family. When we have forgotten that family is deeper than just blood. You know what I mean? We can never know who our blood is and still have a deep connection in terms of family with someone. So in terms of our blood and our siblings, this is where principle is found in terms of how to engage other people, how people receive you, how people, you know, if your siblings are constantly telling you you're beautiful, you're wonderful, you're great, then you're going to begin to trust when it comes from other people outside of your feelings. And not to say that that matters, but if your siblings are constantly telling you you're stupid, you're ugly, you're retarded, as soon as you see it, you are going to combat it in an aggressive way or in a passive way, but you're still going to combat that energy because you have been taught that from your siblings. So our blood relationships with our sisters and brothers, you know, it's important. Those of us who are committed to doing healing work, and those of us who are committed to even being our best self, we need to understand why it's so important for our blood, our siblings, to be a part of that process for us. thing that we brought up when it came to our blood siblings is that we tend to think we know them, right? We tend to think, oh, I grew up with that person, and I was in the house. I may have even sat same bed. If it was, you know, whatever it is, I know this person. So I know them sometimes better than they know themselves. Two things. There's ways that this can go. Either you have to acknowledge that they must know you sometimes better than you know yourself as well, because that same equal exposure had to have been an exchange. If not, there's never a time where one is over another. Never. We can think that in our head. We can create titles and standards that say I'm the teacher, you're the student, I'm the leader, you're the father. We can do that all we want, but it requires balance and exchange in order for either role to happen. So if you think you know your siblings sometimes better than they know themselves, you have to either A, acknowledge that they know you sometimes better than you know yourself, or B, you have to acknowledge that you may not know anything. And this may be a total assumption. We like to think that, you know, I share this with the youth all the time. Do not assume you know someone's position, because a lot of times in our siblinghood, that is, we think we know what the other person is doing just because we have had access to that person more than anybody. You know, our siblings, we so neglect how important this relationship is to healing the community. Now, that doesn't mean that you're healing it and you guys become best friends. That doesn't mean that you're healing it and you guys are now always together. That means healing it and putting closure to unresolved issues. That means this is where you learn how to do these things. This is with your siblings is where you learn how to communicate. Do you effectively communicate? When you are threatened, when you are harmed, when you are celebrating, when you are loved, do you exchange with your siblings in a productive way? Because if you do, that will give you skills, especially if you have multiple siblings, because dealing with multiple personalities within the children that you call brother and sister, you are able to learn that everyone is not the same. One person might be motivated by money. One person might be motivated by spirit. One person might be motivated by food. One person might. There are so many different aspects of what it means to be a human. Okay, no one's one cookie box fit cutter is going to fit for the next person. And so as you are our children and as you are adolescents and young adults and adulthood, dealing with your siblings should be giving you skills on how you can engage with the rest of the world. And that's what gives you the audacity to be bold. When you know you have the support of your sister or your brother, it does do something for you beyond your parents, okay? Because you begin to understand what it means to have a support system. You begin to understand, let me put tasks to this whole situation. You begin to understand order. Okay, I might, if you have never studied birth order, study it. Okay, go study birth order. If you are the oldest, there are personality traits that you naturally exude when it comes to your siblings. And so you also carry that into your life. You also carry those same things because you mastered them with your siblings. I'm the oldest of 1, 2, 3. There's so many of us. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I have 8 sisters combined, whether it's half sisters or not. I have 8 sisters combined, and I am the oldest of them all. There is a natural. Does that make sense why sisterhood is important to me? I come from a family full of women. My grandmother had majority girls. She had 4 girls and 1 boy, and all of the girls. This led me to love sisterhood because I grew up and saw
beautiful sisterhood with my aunt. Even in their tats, it still was a beautiful sisterhood because I saw conflict and I saw what not to do if I got into a conflict with my sister. My sisters, all of our relationships are uniquely ours, but it is sisterhood. And so it's not an accident that I am passionate about sisterhood work. This is what I know. This is what I can say. I have mastered an area in terms of interpersonal relationships within the community because I grew up in this. I came up in this. I saw this. I witnessed it. This is where we learn. Again, your first community is your home. Your first community is your family. And this is where you get the skills to know what you're going to contribute to the greater community. And once you understand that, you value those relationships. You value those interactions. And my sisters, we are all in harmony. I have my nieces. We are all in harmony because rather they don't even have to necessarily be sisters, but they're sisters because I am the link. So yes, you are sisters. We are raising all of our children as cousins. We are raising all of our families as one. We're raising because it doesn't matter bloodline or not. Sisters are sisters are sisters, and now it has led me to do my work within sisterhood. See, this is when we can get back to understanding, and I'm not saying that the relationships are going to be, again, 500%. I am blessed, but I am also the oldest, and I do this work. So I encourage, let's heal. We're going to sit down and talk about this. We're going to sit down and figure out how are we going to be better sisters. See, your birth order matters too. If you're the youngest, your approach is going to be different. If you're the second, third, fourth, you're in the middle, your approach is going to be different. And honor those things, but you have to learn and then understand how important those blood relationships are when it comes to our siblings. And our siblings are going to continue throughout our life, even when they pass away, even when you pass away. They are going to continue to be able to be a reference point for everything that you do in your life. You're going to be able to say, dang, that's something that my sister did or something that my brother did, other than that. You're going to continuously be able to do it. And see, the way that the Creator works, let me show you how dope this is. The way that the Creator works is that there is a web, there is a link that continues to happen where the interconnectedness of all things come back to all things. You can't, your sister, your work, you are going to be able to see where your work and what you want to contribute to the community started in your own home as a child. It was planted. You will be able to see how you can reference all of these things back to who you are and where you came from and what you were based off. Ah, that is That is the blood. So if you have an issue with your sister or your brother, I'm not saying to go be unhappy. I'm saying to take the initiative of doing the work to heal. And if the healing work means putting closure and not being exposed anymore, so be it. But at least put the healing and the closure and the seal on it so that you can utilize that connection to be a resource for you in the work that you do with the community, because it all links to what your contribution is to the community. Everything that you do is linked to what is your contribution to the world and your purpose to fulfill for the Creator. Everything. So when you see that, you recognize that nothing is done on accident. Everything has its purpose. Everything has a reason, and you have to receive it as such. And the best way to learn that initially is within your relationships with your brothers and sisters and even your family, your entire family. But we're talking about brothers and sisters and your cousins and all of that good stuff. That's where you learn friendship. That's where you learn community. That's where you learn how to engage and how to give it. That's why we can have personality traits and we can know. People will talk to me and find out I'm the oldest and say, oh yeah, that makes sense. That's because there are characteristics that are continuous, that are even, they're universal and you don't even have to speak them. There's just some things that the oldest children naturally do. There's just some things that the youngest children naturally do. And it's because of the order that you have to adhere to, even when it's dysfunction. Even when it's dysfunction, you are still going to see those type of traits. And when we honor what those are, somebody is going to have to choose to be the bigger person and begin to heal that relationship. Again, we are doing heart healing, healing African-American relationships today, every single Thursday at 6 o'clock, excuse me, six o'clock at the Health and Wellness Center. It is amazing what we are breaking through with. Everyone walks away feeling full every single week. And even when it gets uncomfortable, we are so willing to show up and do the work. That's all that matters. That's really all that matters. Can we completely stand up and say, I know this isn't, this doesn't, I don't like it, but it is, and I'm going to do the best I can. I am borrowing that from someone. So let's go into platonic relationships, because I that leads right into what the conclusion that we came up with. And for the listeners, please call and join us if you have anything to say about this topic. The number 646-787-8538. And you can call in and join me in this discussion or give your two cents or your comments. I do know how it works. If no one wants to speak, I do understand it's because nobody is receiving. So I appreciate that. But let's go into platonic relationships. And I want to start part of the show really honoring how important it is to see how important community is. So we talked, we shared, we did all of these things in the class, and what was important when it comes to platonic relationships and all of these wonderful things. But the biggest and most important thing that we understood, and it was through a lot of our own experiences, and it was also through us knowing what's best for our community. The only way that platonic relationships work, and I'm going to say this very strongly, the only way that platonic relationships work is if they are done in a community setting. That's it. That's all. If I can't engage if others can't engage with because ... but I can over here, it's not healthy, okay? That platonic relationship is not a real relationship, and there is going to be some type of ulterior motive. We definitely acknowledge that a lot of times sisters may be very naive to that, because we truly are not aware of tactics of hunt. You know, we broke it down to men pursue women. Women don't pursue men. So when there is a tactic being used via friendship, we are not aware of it because we have never tapped into those type of tactics. We're not, and I'm not saying that there aren't women who do. I'm just saying that for the most part, sisters are not going to brothers saying, can we be friends, with an ulterior motive of saying, I want to eventually screw you, or I want to eventually take you from your wife. We don't do that, and we most likely aren't even pursuing those friendships like that. And if we do find out that there's a woman involved, we are extending ourselves. I have had to acknowledge not knowing exactly how that energy works, because one of the biggest things, and the brothers admitted this too, when does that energy shift? The unawareness of it is so blurry that it becomes, if you get to a space where saying, you know what, the only time we should be engaged in a platonic relationship with the opposite sex is when it's in a community setting, for the sake of the community. If you can't do work with someone, if you can't, you know, sit and have a conversation and engage with your significant other or not, if they are holding space, if you are holding space that is sacred, that should be given to a sacred person, to a sacred position, whether that position is filled or not, you should not be engaged. That is dangerous. I had an elder break down to me, and this is an elder sister. I had an elder sister break down to me the importance of three. She said, you should never be engaged. And she said, she didn't even say opposite sex. She said anybody. She said, you should never be engaged in a conversation where it's just you and another person. You should always have a witness for the sake of safety, for the sake of protection, for the sake of checks and balances. Because if you're doing this work, do the work with the community at home. It should be done where it's, okay, let's figure this out. We're going to do this. We're going to move here. We're going to do this so that there's a level of accountability, because when it's just one word against another word, that's where you get danger. That's where you get miscommunication. That's where you, and sometimes it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, but sometimes you have to really, really think, what are you trying to have this friendship for in the first place, right? So we brought up one of the people in the class is a friend of mine who is in community work with me and has been for years, and he's happily married. I'm happily married. We support each other. It's just that, but that platonic friendship we have, you know, it's if he couldn't speak to me in front of his wife, there would be a problem. If I couldn't speak to him in front of my husband, that is a problem. There are boundaries. If there's a sacred space, before I was married, there's a space that just isn't allowed to be occupied, that just isn't allowed to even be touched. Because once I do find someone, once I do exchange in this way, you can't be holding up space. You can't be in the way. You can't be, and this is where those platonic friendships get really, really, really blurry. And regardless, and sisters, I really, really want to say this to you, because our biggest conclusion in heart last week was that sisters are very naive to knowing that these are tactics. I shared with the class last year, maybe about last August or so, I was in the work, wasn't doing, you know, I was complete. If y'all have been following me, y'all know last year was about I'm on my solo by myself, right? And I shared with the class how I had a few different brothers who I thought we were friends. I thought that we were in that space, completely spaz on me. And I didn't know where it was coming from. I didn't know what, and it was because preconceived notion was, I'm going to get in this way. And having to purge and have that conversation with them was very, very, very uncomfortable, but I had to stand in it, and I had to learn, okay, this has been, we have been in two different lanes. I have been in this lane, you have been in this lane with the intent of getting in this lane. And I wasn't trying to let you pass over. And you got upset and took it personal and began to purge. This is where danger comes in. Because if someone decides to say, oh, you're not, you know, a lot of times sisters who are being raped by men who they know. Most of the time, a rape is by someone that they know. And that maybe is feeling you are trying to go somewhere and you're not allowing me to get into the space that I want to be in. And the sister is completely caught off guard. This is danger. At this point, we have to take some accountability and saying there is a sacred space that has to happen. And the safest place for a platonic relationship to happen is for the community. I don't need to. If you are not helping me be better for the community and do the work, then there is no need for me to, you know, we were talking about, some people were talking about platonic relationships and people coming over to your house, cook dinner, and you're doing, no. That's space that you give to someone else. You doing stuff that a mate should be doing. No, if you're my friend, whether I have a mate or not, you are just my friend. I'm not going to call you to mow my grass. I'm not going to call you to do something that should be reserved for a sacred space in relationship. And that is really hard to admit, because we live in a society that is independent, okay? We are so independent, and we don't want to acknowledge that boundaries need to be set, that order needs to be put in place. I can't engage with that space. With that being said, I need to acknowledge how, if there is ever any misconception in terms of how you are supposed to be received from someone, I am not saying that you hold a responsibility for abuse. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that if someone, you know, I used the rape, and I'm really speaking of my own rape. When I was raped, it was from somebody that I knew, that I considered my brother, that I thought was my friend, who had been my friend for years, and so trust and believe, this is because those boundaries I have learned from experience how to create them and still be productive. If you can't be, the only way that platonic friendships need to be is, how is this helping the community? What work are we doing together? How are you making sure that I'm being a better wife, I'm being a better mother, that I'm being a better husband, that I'm being a better father? How are you making sure that it's, because when you go into and there's a space that becomes a secret, when it becomes a secret space, that's what becomes dangerous, where you can't, you know, it gets shaky. And sisters, for us, we have to recognize that these brothers are reading, and when they have an idea, if their idea is going to be that gross, that is where we're getting harmed. That's where we're getting harmed. It doesn't have anything to do with, listen, I was a tomboy. I had on a Ralph Lauren outfit with some Jordans. Okay, I didn't have anything skimpy on. I didn't have anything. It's not that. It's the interaction. And a lot of times we forget that principles are applied to our spirit and our energy because in the physical it didn't happen. That don't mean nothing. By the time it happens in the physical, it has already manifested in the spirit and energy. So that's nothing. You need to nip it in the bud, as my mama would say, and go directly to the source, which is the spirit and energy. And what are you exchanging for someone to feel that they can even cross the line? Every sister in the room said that their platonic relationships, every sister in the room, that they only had one platonic relationship, and they had many, many, many platonic relationships of the past, and only one of them. And that was the average. Like, okay, one out of 50 men can be received as a platonic relationship. But the commonality was those men did work with them. They did some type of work. They were doing the garden with somebody. They were they did this community school project with somebody. It was involved with something for the community, because that gives the relationship purpose. See, when you just have a friend, and you really need to examine your whole life like this, when you just have a friend who's just a friend with no purpose, what is the purpose of the friendship? What are you really getting out of it? And what are you really truly giving to it that is going to help your community? And when we're talking about heart, we are asking specifically that's going to help the Black community. How is this platonic relationship going to be nurtured to ensure that the resource created to be the best? Because that is the source. And it's the truth. And its lines can be completely blurred. And when those lines get blurred, no matter what, whoever you're with, no matter, even if you're not with somebody, there's some level of accountability that is going to be overlooked, because you aren't trusting or you're not creating the platform for it to be in a healthy space. And the only healthy space that platonic friendships can really truly happen is via the community. There's no need for you for any type of secrecy. There's no need for, if something is going on, I'm not going to create some type of disharmony for your own energy alignment, for your own space, because you want to be able to share and to show that this, yeah, platonic relationships can happen, but it just has to be with the purpose of the community. It just has to be with the purpose of, listen, when you cross that line, you get deaded.
period, point blank, because what you do is create even more room, and maybe they won't bring it to you, but they may bring it to your significant other. They may bring it to the rest of the community. So your community work is still going to be affected. Your community work is still going to be affected because these platonic relationships are meant for the community. They're not meant for you personally. They're not meant any other way. And when it's received as such, when it's received as a personal thing, that's where, regardless of your contribution, regardless of your acknowledgement, it's going to feel community, because that person is going to receive it and they're going to go tell the community, they're going to go tell your significant other, or they're going to stop you from getting a significant. They have already poisoned the community to make sure that you see them. You see, the cycle is there. We're not talking about individualism anymore. That don't work. That doesn't work for the African-American community. We need to stop thinking I, me, and start implementing what it means to truly be a functional community. You don't see, the Italians got they community straight. Okay, if you're in Denver, Pete got that community on lock. Okay, we don't have that. And it's because we are so consumed with self. We don't want to take the time to even try to understand. We don't even want to take the time to try to process with each other, because we are so consumed with this is me, this is me, this is me. That's not community. And as soon as these platonic relationships get received as such, as saying, okay, if we're going to be platonic friends, cool. But I'm going to invite my husband in. I'm going to invite my wife in. I'm going to let it be known that the resource that you are is accessible to them. I'm going to let it be known that actually and eventually, if it is truly the opposite sex and it is truly for the community, eventually, if you're the opposite sex, you're going to cease dealing with me and deal with my spouse. You're going to cease doing that, because that's community. We don't have to, and we're so far removed from that. We're so far removed from that. One of the things, too, that came up in the class was there are those of us who understand that. But because we understand that and we are dealing with such a large percentage of people who don't understand that, when we show up in that, it gets rejected, which is why, you know, and I'm going to raise my hand at that and say I have had to be corrected, because my platonic friendships with the opposite sex, we are clear about knowing what it's for and the purpose, and this is for the community, all of that good stuff. We're clear about that. But when it's received, because so many people have abused the ability, people have completely made the idea of a platonic friendship to be so hurtful, to be so manipulative, that it can't be received. Most times it's not received. And it can be so you have to get back into the space of just saying, you know what, we're just going to make sure this is just a community setting, and we're going to make sure that there's always a third party, and we're going to make sure that there's always an opportunity for it to be clear that this is the purpose of healing our community. Our purpose is not to be ego driven, and I don't need to, and a lot of times that's how it's received, just because, not because it's been proven, just because, and it's understood. And I think last week, in terms of the sisters, we got some real aha moments, like, oh, we didn't realize that that's what men were intending to do, you know what I mean, like, oh, okay, this, okay, that's okay. And once we can get to that space of truly finding that understanding, we can dialogue about what is the best solution. And we were able to conclude the best solution is, let's have our community be where the platonic relationships are happening. They don't need to be happening, I'm inviting somebody over, or I'm doing a duty for you that is really a duty of a spouse, or I'm doing something for, no, those lines get blurred, whether it's communicated verbally or not. That's where those lines get blurred. If you're my friend, you're my friend. I don't do certain things with my friends. There's just certain things I'm going to do. You don't have access because you're my friend. Just because I'm not going to even touch
what that sacred space is for you. I'm not even going to extend what that sacred space is to me. So we can be friends, we can do all of that, but there's just certain things that aren't going to happen. And a lot of times that gets misconstrued. And in that misconstruction, I need to put some correction to my own behavior from last week. Last week we had a completely total disrespect call, okay, that my reaction was not the best reaction. My reaction was silence and to come in and immediately represent my marriage. I don't want to repeat what has been said about the show, but I do want to acknowledge that for the sake of the dignity of my marriage and the dignity of my husband, I acknowledge that that wasn't the best reaction. And not know, and in the moment, I wasn't sure who it was. And once we were able to narrow down who it was, the disrespect will never happen again. And let me be very clear, if anyone disrespects my marriage from here on out on any platform, that has never happened before. That has never, no one really does that in my face either. So that has never happened before. But if there is a space, there is a space of creating order. And that was I didn't handle it in the best way. I handled it in the best way that I knew how, and I'm going to do better. So I am going to, in the same forum, apologize to my husband, apologize to the sanctity of my marriage, and also be very clear. If you disrespect, and I don't think it will happen, I do think it was a very rare thing. It has never happened, and God willing, it doesn't happen, because I don't want to have to snap and show that side of me, but I will if necessary. And that is a perfect example, though, of that. Well, it's not even a perfect example, because it's not like this person was a friend or anything like that. It was just somebody crazy. But that shows where people's intent, or you don't ever know what people's minds are of the opposite sex, and you don't know where they're going. You don't know what they're trying to do. And so when it shows up and it rears its ugly head, a lot of times you have to go back and you have to recognize, like, okay, this is inappropriate, and I need to completely check it. So I'm checking last week's situation and also apologizing to the listeners for that too. I do want to continue with the importance of platonic relationships and why, how they can be beneficial. We know how destructive they can be, right? We know how destructive they can be, but they also can serve as being a beautiful thing for the community. When you have a group of, imagine having a group of six amazing couples who make moves together. Not only do they make moves together, they travel together, they do work together. Having a community is just healthier. You have children that you're raising together. You have principles. You are creating a community when you expose yourself to these healthy exchanges. You can be an example. Sometimes you don't know where the of a message is coming from. Sometimes one relationship that you're exposed to can let you see how valuable your relationship truly is, or can let you see why it's valuable that you stay single until you do meet your standards. This is a community effort. Everything that we do is for what is the contribution of what we give to the community for our purpose for the Creator. That is the whole goal in everything. From your spouse to your friends to your siblings to your parents to everything comes down to how are you contributing to the greater community, to the greater whole, and how effective are you being in doing so? And when you can get into that space, you are able to trust. You are able to trust that you can exist without being dishonorable. But again, this goes back
what was your childhood? What was your, do you understand what it means to outside of yourself even? You know what I mean? Do you understand that there are relationships that can be cultivated that can actually help you, that can become a resource so that you can be your best self? Because sometimes the level of accountability, I will be the first to tell you, my sisterhood, my sacred sisterhood, and y'all know there's layers to the sisterhood. I don't, you know, my sacred sisterhood holds me so accountable that there are some things that within that sisterhood that no one else can get through to me. No one else can, because it's just that trust has been, not even the trust in that person. The trust is in knowing how they aid in their contribution and how it links to my contribution. It don't have nothing to do with that person, because I can't, one of my friends who haven't hurt my feelings, I can't name one of my friends who I haven't hurt their feelings, but I can say I trust that the Creator has them in my life and them in my life for a reason, because our missions complement each other, and the roles that we have to each other, when we fulfill them, it helps us be our best. It doesn't matter about the person. It's that I trust the universal code and the order and what has already been written and ordained for my life. And so I trust that. Even I was just telling my husband, I trust that more than I trust myself, because trusting myself, see, I can make a decision and walk away. And walk away from something that could really truly be what I need to grow. Just because I have long learned that ain't nothing wrong with being uncomfortable. There's nothing wrong with being out, feeling like you're out of alignment for a moment. In order for you to, I just wrote a book called Rearrangement. Do you understand how uncomfortable it is to rearrange? You have to be willing to be transparent and to be vulnerable enough to receive what you're supposed to receive. So platonic relationships, as long as they are done institution of community, as long as they are done in the platform of community, you know, be cautious of these private exchanges. Be cautious of what you are doing. You know, don't let someone enter sacred space who you don't intend for them to be in that sacred space. And don't you enter their sacred space if you don't intend their sacred space. That's selfish. That's self-serving. I remember, you know, my father saying to me when I was young, years ago, I remember my father saying to me, don't be nice to a man who only wants to be your boyfriend. And I never understood that, because my mother raised wives. She didn't raise us to be girlfriends. She didn't raise us to be jump offs. She raised us to be wives. So I didn't understand what that meant. I didn't understand, like, how am I supposed to show up? If I'm going to give someone my body, or if I'm going to engage and say I'm in a relationship, shouldn't I be giving my all? Shouldn't I be doing all of these things? Absolutely not. And it took me years to understand what that really meant, because I was married all of my 20s, you know what I mean? And this was because I showed up as a wife, and I didn't know how to calm that. I didn't know how to be patient and give just a little bit, and I didn't know how to do that. But the same is true for your platonic relationships. Don't be a friend to somebody giving them spousal duties. Don't be somebody's friend, but you're cooking dinner, and you're cutting grass, and you going to check on grandma and stuff. That's what a spouse is supposed to do. So you can't give in those same ways. And if you do, let's say this, if you do, it should be in a community that it should be in. I'm doing this for the community. The whole community is coming to ensure this. The whole community, this is something that if and when I get a significant other, or you get a significant other, this should be able to continue, because it's in a platonic way. And when you get, and that is always the test. Let me tell y'all too, that is always the test. The test will come when you get a significant other, or they get a significant other. Does the behavior change? Does the behavior shift? And if it did, then the intention was not just to be your friend. Okay? The intention was not to just, the intention was to eventually get into that sacred space. We all have had to learn this the hard way. We all have had to recognize, goodness gracious, that was not what I was trying to do. But if it is truly, if I'm gardening for somebody, if you're a sister and you're gardening for a brother who is just your friend, then it should be true that once you get a significant other, your significant other should be able to come and say, okay, while she's gardening, let's go mow the lawn. Let's go do, you know, we could be doing something together within brotherhood because that's community. Or it's the sister who's the one who, and then we also learned too, you know, the brothers did check us last week. The brothers checked the sisters and said, don't think that the sisters don't do sneaky stuff like that too. The sisters in this class, we don't get that. But we did acknowledge that we have had to learn the hard way that there are sisters who will come in and do the same thing and say, I'm coming in the spirit of friendship. I'm coming in the spirit of service. I'm coming in the spirit of I want to contribute. But really all along, their goal is to be in this man's life as a wife. We didn't know that because that's not what we have done. But to have exposure to the brothers who are in the class, we're saying, guys, men are doing that just to be your man instead of just saying, I want to be your man. See, these are all things that the group, you know, there may be a small number of people who can engage, but because the greater whole is so distorted and because the greater whole is so out of link, the safest way to do it is just in a community setting. How is this going to benefit community? Because everything that we should be doing, it should be with purpose by now. We shouldn't, you know, and we need to give that example to the brothers and sisters because it creates, and to the younger generation, you know, these younger generations are in havoc with their energy when they're going through puberty and they're going through all of these emotional changes and all of these things, and they don't know how to identify because the examples that they're seeing is, okay, well, goodness, well, you know, this example of my parent, they have these, you know, they have their mate, but then they have these back pocket people and or they have their energy here, but they're also giving energy over here. So what does that mean? You know, they don't even understand because there's no true order of what's a platonic friendship. And if it has to be away from or separate from your significant other, it probably don't need to happen. It probably needs to cease. It probably needs, and I'm saying that for the sake of the platonic relationship is not the most important union in the community that needs to be saved. It's the marriage. So if you are willing to sacrifice your marriage for the sake of a platonic friendship, you're in the wrong. And we talked about this in such depth because last week it was so misconstrued. It was the miscommunication and the misunderstandings of what women feel, what men feel, what certain women on certain levels feel, what certain men on levels feel. It almost felt like there had never been a dialogue of breathing. It had always just been a dictatorship. The sisters dictating, this is what it looks like, or the brothers dictating, this is what it looks like, this is what I accept, this is what I don't accept, this is what, instead of finally coming to a space, because when we had our aha moment, everybody had it at the same time, and everybody said, okay, I get it. There's some of us, there is a small percentage of us who can engage, who can do that, but for the sake of the community, we need to get outside of, I can do it, so I should be able to do it. Mm-mm. That's not what's best for the community. We need to first get to a space where we learn how to be healthy in the community setting with these relationships to ensure it's giving something to the community. Oh, hello, everybody on the line. I had to take a breath. If you have anything to say or you would like to join the discussion, ask a question. If you think I'm out of line, whatever it is that you want to say, go ahead and press 1 and I will get you on the line. Purity, community, these are the most important things right now. We also found the statistic is really like it's rare. It's like 1 in every 50, maybe even 50,000. You know what I'm saying? Like we might be a microcosm of the greater whole. So 1 in every 50, you know, that it's just like this is a safe space. And again, your knowing your blood relationships and your siblings help you get these skills to know when somebody is trying. When it doesn't feel like your brother no more, or it doesn't feel like your sister no more and your blood sister, is this someone that you can bring around and truly say, this is my sister? And your sisters embrace to her as their sister and your sister, not their sister and your wife or chick who's trying to be your wife. Or if it's your brother, can your brothers truly engage without them saying, you know, he's really trying to get at you, you know, da 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 da. Can you really engage? Because we will miss marks because our intention isn't there. And again, that's individualism. We are so consumed with, well, I know I don't want that. And we are neglecting what someone else may want, and that's why it's just safe to have that third party, and it's safe to have the community setting. It's just safe to say, I'm going to invite my significant other into this exchange or into this relationship, into this friendship. I have often I tell this story when I talk about platonic relationships. I tell this story all the time. There is a huge, if you are in Denver, there's a incredible poet that we have. His name is Luciferi, and Luciferi was a close friend of mine. Okay, we were very, very good friends, and his significant other and I became very, very, very good friends as well. And you know, in an attempt to ensure that it was understood, like, yo, this is really just my brother. And he introduced me to her. She would come into town. I would cook for them, and we would have a good time. This was truly my friend, and we developed a friendship independent of Luciferi. Now, Luciferi, regardless of whatever, my friendship with this person who he introduced me to, because at the time, this was years ago, but at the time they were together, and she became one of my dearest sisters. She is a part of my sacred sisterhood now. Okay, she is that important to me. She is a part of the sacred sisterhood, the sisterhood that I don't really expose everybody to. She's a part of that sisterhood. And through whatever, for whatever reason, Luciferi and I, there is still a mutual respect. There is still a respect for each other's work and who we are as people. But our friendship dwindled. And I continue, and this sister is still in my life and will remain in my life. And that commitment has been there for her and I. That's community. Okay, that's community. Sure, we were in it becomes what's the sisterhood is what gets nurtured and cultivated. And this has happened with plenty of platonic friendships I may have had, where the brothers were my friends first, and then they introduced me to their women, and then we wound up being friends. And even after the relationship, the brothers and I were still friends or whatever, continue. But the sisters and I continued to nurture, because it was that was never what the space was. However, it was always on community. It was always in community work. Luciferi and I did so much art together. It was ridiculous. It was so much. It was, you know, we did plays. We did workshops. We did all types of stuff. And it was always in a setting of community. There was never a part of our friendship. And even when we did speak individually, it wasn't where he's coming to my house, kicking it by himself. It was never like that, because it was a mutual respect that we're friends and there's a sacred space that I won't enter for him. He's not going to enter for me. And this is true. How many friendships can we nurture and ensure are going to be productive for who we are? And that's and it's the community work. What are we doing with each other for the community work? I feel full. And if y'all don't want to press one, I am okay with that. We still I did it a little bit longer than usual today, just in case people wanted to engage in the conversation, but we don't have to continue. I don't have to hear myself talk over and over and over. If you are in Denver, I encourage you to come to Heart. This is a huge part. This is what you're getting. This week, we deal with the most important institution in the African American community, which is marriage. So this week, and it just so happens that this week is Happy Marriage Week. Just
you see how law works. This is perfect timing. This we are in our last week of Ramadan. It's the last the last couple of days of Ramadan, as well as it's husband and wife week. And for Heart, we are dealing with husband and wife on Thursday. So if you are in Denver, please, please, please come with us 6:30. We're going to 6:30. I said 6 o'clock earlier. It's 6:30. 6:30 at the Dahlia Health and Wellness Center. It's an incredible course, and this is our pilot. So we are learning. I'm learning how, what's effective, what works, what doesn't work. It's just dope. Everything about this class is just wonderful. And if you're really committed, during our Community Heals, and when I say our, I mean African American Community Heals, come to Heart, Healing African American Relationships Today. The curriculum is dope. We are in, I believe this is week 5 now, so we're halfway done. We have 5 more weeks. And we're going to do it again. We're going to do it again. And it'll be even more new and improved with. But this week we're talking about the importance of Black husbands and wives, which is the most important institution of the community. Marriage, 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 marriage. Nothing else before that. Marriage. My love. Thank you guys for joining me tonight. I am Healer Asset Miriam Ali. You can find me at www.healerasetmiriamali.com. Oh gosh, we have so much going on. So just visit the website, timelessmultimediaco.com. Icon, we're doing everything. We're doing everything. So find us and you can get involved. Thursday, 6:30. Come to the class, and bring some people. We need more men. We need more men. It's women heavy, but we need more men. So I love you. I love you guys. Have a wonderful, be well, and don't allow anything to deter you from your path. Peace and blessings.